Hello and welcome to Books on the Go, a podcast where we talk about our book of the week. I'm Anna Bailey-Karras and I'm here with Annie Waters. Hi, Annie.
Hello.
And this week we've been reading The Paying Guests by Sarah Waters. But first, book news, and there are some awards that have been announced. Mm-hmm. One is the Giller Prize, which is the prize for the best Canadian fiction. Mm-hmm. And it's a big prize. It's $100,000.
Canadian, yeah.
Yes, so Canadian dollars, I should say. And that has been won by How to Pronounce Knife by Suvankam Tamavongsa. So, Annie, do you know anything about this one?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing?
No. But it's a great title.
We're bringing all of our expertise
to this
news segment. So it's a collection of short stories my understanding, and apparently very fresh, really. Mm. Yeah, it must be good.
Yes,
so
exactly.
I'm happy to add that to my list.
Great work, Tamavongsa.
Well, yeah, that's right. And also the first ever, so the inaugural ARA Historical Fiction Prize in Australia, which caught my attention because it is, again, significant. It's a $50,000 prize. Mm. So the inaugural prize has been won by Stone Sky Cold Mountain by Miranda Riwo.
Yes.
Don't say that too fast. It's a real – that title is a real tongue twister.
Yeah.
But that's the one that has the Chinese Gold Rush storyline, but in Australia, doesn't it? Mm. So that we thought sounded similar to –
How much of these hills are gold?
Yeah. So really interesting. Mm. So well done to Miranda Riwo. Have you read that or you knew about it?
No, I heard so. She's been on my radar, but I haven't gotten around to it.
Well, sorry. A couple of books we could add to our Christmas wish list. Mm. Now on to our book of the week. It's The Paying Guests by Sarah Waters. And this came out of a Pride Month recommendation. Back in June, we both wanted to read a Sarah Waters book away we went. Annie, you can fill us in on the background.
So I've always been attracted to Sarah Waters, both because I think I would like her books, but also we share a surname. So there's always that little personal connection that has resonated with me. And a woman at my work has read several of her books, and I asked her for her recommendation because Anna said, well, what's the best one? Where should we start? And we had this long conversation back and forth, and I am useless at listening and remembering things that I have only been told in speech and not written down. So she actually suggested that we read The Night Watch, and because that has a similar title to The Paying Guests and is also set in a similar time frame, I suggested to Anna that we read The Paying Guests, which is, although it was shortlisted for the Orange Prize, with the Bailey's Women's Prize, as it was then, in 2015, is perhaps not her most popular book, and we can talk more about that in a minute. But so some more about Sarah Waters. She is actually a very illustrious, very well-awarded author. So she is probably best known for her books The Fingersmith or Tipping the Velvet. She's a Welsh writer who worked as an academic and in the teaching world before she began writing her novels. She was awarded an OBE in 2019 for her service to literature, and she has been shortlisted for the Booker twice, both for The Fingersmith and The Little Stranger. So she's got 6 novels, I believe, and this is her most recent. So perhaps that's also why it stuck in my head, because I think this is the only one that as a bookseller I have sold when it's been published. So anyway, for whatever reason, we chose to read The Paying Guests. Anna read it first and
we had some feedback.
And then she passed it on to me, and it is rather a long book, which is why it's taken us so long to get around to it. But the nuts and bolts of the story – a spoiler warning here, because I think you can't really – have a genuine discussion of this book without doing a few major spoilers. So
I could, but we are happy to spoil.
So I think that there's 3 major plot points that I think are meant to be hidden. Yeah. Frances lives with her mother. It's the 1920s in London. Her father has died, and when he died, the family realised that he had squandered all of their money on bad investments. So she had 2 brothers who died in the First World War. So her mother and she are both grieving and kind of stuck together. Frances has had a previous a lesbian relationship and is not at all interested in men, and so she kind of sees herself as living this spinster life with her mother for the foreseeable future. And then into their lives, for money reasons, they take on two paying lodgers, the paying guests of the title. And these are Lillian and Leonard, a couple from, I think, the East End in London, and they've moved out for a more suburban life after their marriage. I get the sense, a little bit bohemian. Len works at an insurance company or something, and Lil is very fluffy and has many beautiful fabrics and things, and she and Frances strike up a friendship unbeknownst to her mother. So I think that's a good point to jump into our review. Anna, what did you think?
No, didn't get on with this. I'm so sorry. I really wanted to love it, and I love Sarah Waters. I had loved the idea of Sarah Waters' books, and it's possible that some of the other books are a bit stronger or that I might have got more into, and I don't think I'll even pick them up. I'm really bad once I read one book by an author if I don't get on with it. I'm really... It's hard to feel motivated.
I feel very bad for having chosen this one.
But that's no, don't worry. There are so many books in the sea. I can see all the quality of the writing, all the things that people, why she's so highly acclaimed. She's award winning. She's a really, really accomplished writer. Mm. And you can see that in the writing. So the observations are beautiful, and there is a lyricism to her sentences, and she finds exactly the right word and has she sort of slowly builds up this world, and you do feel like you're there. So I it's very immersive. Mm. I can see all of the things that, all of the ingredients, I suppose, that make, her books successful. But this one for me was very overwrought and sort of drawn out, and just the characters annoyed me, and the whole thing, the tone was very gushy, and I think a personal taste thing as well. But we have Frances, who doesn't do much. So part of the problem is, and I get that it's meant to be perhaps giving us an insight into life as a woman, especially if you don't marry for various reasons in the 1920s, really boring to, in some ways.
A lot of drudgery. She does all their housework because they can't afford a housekeeper, and she's looked down upon for that. And it's like, well, what else is she going to do with her day?
So there's a lot of drudgery, but unfortunately that flows through to the book. I think it's hard to do drudgery without the reader feeling bored. And so it is, that's a challenge. I did sort of cringe at the English. She captures that Englishness really well, yes. Like the manners, the fact that they can't call them lodgers or tenants, but it's the paint, they're the guests.
Yeah, and everyone's peeping in everyone's windows and looking on. Horrible.
It's unbelievable. And just the politeness and the class boundaries, and Frances's mother in particular and her generation are very careful to keep to those class boundaries. They're really sort of conservative in that way. And just the dithering, the way that there's a scene early on where Frances is getting ready to go to an event and she has to choose a dress, and Lillian, the paying guest, is helping her. Just the dithering over things like that, and whether to go upstairs and knock on someone's door, or whether to clean this, or to whether to visit.
There's a lot of thought given to very trivial day-to-day
which
actions.
I actually do think that can be an accurate observation, but it just started to annoy me because it does, the book is long, and so you're dithering, and I just found Frances and her not very interesting life, and then her obsession with these paying guests. So she keeps just hanging around, hanging around them all the time in a way that I think that relationship of tenant and landlord and tenant, that is not appropriate. Mm. Like they're just, you would not get yourself involved in their life, I don't think.
But I think that makes sense because she's so lonely. She has no friends her own age. The only people that ever go out to tea with are her mother's friends or the church ladies or whatever. So I can see that because these people are kind of, they bring something new. I think I agree with you. It's a little bit weird to start with, especially because she doesn't particularly think she likes these people, but she seems to be attracted to them and want to kind of appear in at their lives, I guess because they have more going on than she does and she kind of wants to
to that. I can understand the fascination, but it just, it sort of grated on me. And then Lillian becomes very tiresome later, which we might get to, but that's another story. And it, and you can sort of see the plot, while we're warning about spoilers, you can see these plot points coming from a mile away.
Really?
And they are so, well, you can sort of, let's say you can sort of see where it's going or you have a hint of where it's going, and it just is quite drawn out and painstaking because everything's meticulously observed and every decision is agonized, as we, you know, dithered over, and you get these sort of scene by scene. And then by the end I just thought it was over the top and so on. So it was compulsive reading. I did want to find out what happened, so I did get to the end. But I just thought, for me, it was overwrought, it was too gushy, and what I thought should have felt like quite a fresh story of the 1920s as a result felt a bit staid and a bit stale, because I think just because it was too drawn out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can
it could have been, maybe if it was shorter, it could have been a really
a tight,
fresh, interesting take on, you know, life as a woman in the 1920s.
Yeah.
Because that premise I quite liked.
Yeah. But yeah. I think it, for me, it was a book of thirds. So I really enjoyed the first third that I think you're talking about there, where the lodgers move in, Frances becomes obsessed with them, she and Lillian form a friendship. I found that really gripping, and I think...
And quite believable at that
point. Oh, really, really realistic. You can see that there's going to become a further relationship between she and Lillian. I think only because you know about Sarah Waters and that many of her previous books feature lesbian couples.
Yeah.
So you can see that there's a special something developing there. But that tension I thought was so beautifully balanced. So I think she walks that tightrope of... You know how Frances feels, but you do not know how Lillian feels. So I think you get that really good idea, as you do in any early relationship, where one person, you know, can only know their own thoughts and think, I'm attracted to this person, but if I make a move, you know, is that dangerous for me? For one, she's a woman, and two,
of
she's
course.
Married and living with us. You know, there's so many elements of danger, but Frances decides to act on that impulse regardless. So I think for me, that love story section was really beautiful and I loved it. And then when they start a relationship, it has all of the light and joy of a new relationship.
A romance.
And I think, again, you do know that a turn is coming, and this is a spoiler.
Well, you know, it's, I guess you know it's not sustainable.
No, exactly.
Partly because Lillian's married, partly because same-sex relationships are frowned upon at
that
time and in that era. And so you sort of know that it's dangerous.
Mm.
It does say on the blurb, when I say you can sort of see it coming, I didn't mean it was that obvious, but more on the blurb it says, as Frances and Lillian are drawn into an unexpected friendship.
Yeah, yeah.
So I sort of went into the book with that in the back of my mind.
I think it's more so the second plot point, which is a spoiler, I think. And I have this thing of halfway through a book, I like to go and read the acknowledgements sometimes. Like if I put the book down but I'm not quite ready to finish reading for the moment. And there are very long chapters, I agree. It's a long book and it is a bit of a slog. I went and read the acknowledgements, and in the acknowledgements she talks about becoming interested in women and crime in the 1920s and cases against women that she investigated, and I was kind of like, oh, is there going to be a crime? Okay, I guess that makes sense, because I'm only a third of the way into the book
I'm
and it seems like
crime.
The story is mostly done. So anyway, Len finds out about this relationship. He's not a very nice man to begin with. A fight ensues and Lillian kills him. So that is the big spoiler. So, and then the two women, really Lillian, pushes Frances to cover up or to help cover up this death, because she thinks that she'll get blamed for it. Frances thinks they should go to the police. Lillian thinks, no, we should hide his body in the alley and pretend it was someone else. And that for me is the weakest part of the book.
Yeah.
I think I had that thing that you often get where you know what's happened, and so then all the other stuff, the cover up is boring, because I...
Yeah.
You know, I was tense, but I was also kind of like, well, you did do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's going to happen?
That's right.
So
it
you
can't
kind of
end well.
So this.
And it does feel a bit unrealistic.
Yeah, I think so. And so then that just drags on for a little bit. And then they go to trial, because they end up catching someone that they think has done it. And they go to trial, and the women beat themselves up. Well, Frances in particular berates herself because she can't stand to see an innocent person be convicted for the crime that she has been involved in.
Which would be a hanging crime in that day,
yes,
wouldn't
I
it?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. And so they attend the trial rigorously, but they go back and forth about whether they should go and confess, and they eventually decide, you know, well, if he gets convicted, then we will go and confess and blah, blah, blah. And the relationship that had been so beautiful and light and easy struggles because, you know, they've got this crime hanging over their heads. Obviously that sours each of their impressions of each other, and I can understand through those parts that I think it did sag a little bit and it did feel directionless a little bit, and I didn't care enough about those two people to want them.
No,
I didn't want them to win, and I don't think Sarah Waters wanted them to
win. They're sort of quite unlikable by that stage.
They are a little bit. And then you're just involved in the day-to-day nitpicking of a relationship. And
meanwhile, they're not doing anything productive. And yes, that's a factor of living in the time they were living in, but there's nothing they're offering to society at this point. You know, so you don't really care if they succeed or not.
Yeah.
I can't even remember how it ends, but
I won't spoil that in case anyone does still want to read it. So I think there was an interesting in that last little section, it did pick up for me because I think there's an interesting depiction of media sensationalism. And if you think of like Lizzie Borden or someone like that who's a similar kind of era and accused of the crime that these two women had committed, I think the media has this huge part to play in beating up, you know, what's happened, what's gone on. And you can see the growth of the tabloid media in 100 years from this kind of quite sensationalist, but especially in the UK. I mean, you can see how their tabloid media has developed even further past, you know, no boundaries are respected. And so, I mean, I think they print a picture of the person who's accused of doing it in the paper on the front page and publish his name and all of this stuff. They create this idea of him having done it, and that is the basis of his conviction, really. So that was interesting to me. Yeah, as you say, there's lots of moralising, busybodying, everyone going to everyone's place for tea. If you sit too close to a gentleman, then perhaps you're involved and they'd really love you to be, and then you have to quite obviously spell it out to your mother that, like, I do not like him.
It's not happening.
Don't set me up. Yeah, and thank God we've moved away, hopefully, from that time.
So
I think I would read another Sarah Waters. I probably wouldn't recommend this one to someone who was just starting out, but I think I'll probably read Fingersmith or Tipping the Velvet. Because I loved the writing.
The observations, the way she captures how people behave is really, really accurate. Mm. It's really well done.
And I think
done.
She has quite an inventive use of language. It's not just plain storytelling. As you said, there's a lyricism to it and a kind of poetics that I enjoyed. So,
Definitely. I think it's just also a personal taste thing. So her style is quite overblown or fulsome, and I prefer often more sort of pared back, but not always.
No.
So it depends on the book. But that's part of it. So don't be too put off. It's it is always a personal taste scenario.
Exactly.
But there we are. That was it. We
at did long last.
At long
only
last.
Only 5 months late.
We have finally read Sarah Waters. So that was The Paying Guests, but we're recommending possibly, what was that other one?
The Night Watch. The Night Watch set in the 1940s. And I think also about two characters who welcome strangers into their home. So I can be forgiven.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Sounds a bit similar. But that one and Fingersmith rings a bell as well, the two perhaps more popular ones. But let us know if you have read any Sarah Waters, what's your favourite? Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email us at booksonthegopodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook at Books on the Go, and I'm on Instagram, Litzy, and Twitter at A Bailey Karras. And Annie?
I'm on all three of those platforms at Mr_Annie.
Wonderful. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye.